Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. We all stand on level ground, O Lord. We all put one foot into our pants at a time. You are a person who does not discriminate. You are no respecter of persons. It is our desire to be that kind of person as well, for we are to reflect our King, our Lord, our God. Mold and shape us to do so, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Just what is Jesus getting at in this parable? Well, he is critiquing how we in the world create things to make ourselves feel so important. To make ourselves feel like we are somebody. How we distinguish between one another. I remember going to annual conference in Athens. And when I became an elder, I no longer had to wear this old ugly beige name tag that said student pastor. It was ugly. Ugly. It was brown. I don't look good in brown. It was ugly. But I was a student local pastor. I wasn't a local pastor. I wasn't a deacon. But then after I became a deacon and then an elder, all of a sudden then I got a white badge with real pretty lettering that had my name on it that said, "Full Elder." That day I was somebody, brothers and sisters. I was somebody. Because you see, I wasn't a student pastor anymore. I wasn't one of those lowly worms. You know, for those of you who were ever in band, I don't know if you ever had to go through any kind of initiation or anything like that. But when I went to Ray County High School in Dayton, Tennessee, you had to say that you were a lowly, lowly worm. You were a lowly, lowly worm. And they either made you wear an onion around your neck or a pickle. And they'd always say, "Which do you want, an onion or a pickle?" And they'd say, "Well, which don't you like?" Well, I lied. I said, "I hate pickles," so they let me wear a pickle. So whenever they told me to bite the pickle, I acted like I hated it, but I really enjoyed it. But it's interesting that which we try and create in our world to make people work up to a certain status. And that's only to make us feel like we're somebody. Well, you and I have read in scriptures where the disciples struggled with this. Jesus said that he was going to Jerusalem to lay down his life. And what were the disciples discussing after he told them that? Who among them was the greatest? You will recall during Holy Week, Maundy Thursday, that Jesus took a towel and a basin and a bowl and got on his knees and washed his disciples' feet and said, "The greatest among you will be your servant." If you want to be great, be a servant. You don't always have to be first. You can always choose to be last. And in Scripture, you and I have read that verse time and time again. You know it. The first shall be, and the last shall be. Jesus says, "I come into this world not to be served, but to serve." You and I deal with this all the time. We see things all the time that makes us feel like somebody. I'll never forget when I was at Berry College and went to my post office and I first got my first credit card. And it said, "You are pre-approved." I thought, "Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I am pre-approved. We'll give you a credit line of $1,500 and charge you 29% interest. We love you so much. We think you are so special. We want to show you some love." Pre-approved. So that I can feel like I am a honored customer. They wasn't in it for the gain. They wanted to think that I would think that I was in it for the gain. Oh, how you and I want to feel so special. How you and I want to be made to feel so special. And brothers and sisters, there's nothing wrong in being affirmed until it's at the cost of another. Until we start finding out that it's at the cost of another to put someone else down so that we can be made to be feeling sort of superior. I don't know why we feel like we have to be that way. I guess it's our brokenness. I don't know. You know, I thought when you went to church, the preacher would remind us that everybody's somebody. And the reason that everybody is somebody is because of the hands that created us and whose breath breathed in us and whose image we are made in. That's what makes everybody somebody. If you and I are made in the image of God, which we are, that makes us somebody. We hear about the mountains being lowered and the valleys filled during Advent. That means that you and I are on level ground at the foot of the cross. There's nobody above us and there's nobody below us. We are in need of the same blood, the same salvation, the same Savior as everybody else. I tell you, I got a taste of what it's like to be like when I went to my first year in seminary at Candler School of Theology. When I was in Ray County, everybody knew my name. They knew I was Randall Massengill. They knew I was Lois and Harry Massengill's boy. They knew me. My family grew up there. They knew me. They could call me by name. When I went to Atlanta, they didn't give a hunk of berry what my name was. You ain't nobody special, white boy. Who you think you are? You think you're somebody who comes from Dayton, Tennessee? You want us to know your name? You and everybody else. You're so special, they'll give you a parking ticket, which they want you to think is a parking ticket, but it's nothing but a hunting license. They got 1,000 parking spaces down there and 10,000 people going to school. You're just like everybody else down there. You're nobody special. And if you think you are, and you try and get special attention or special recognition, they will put you in your place. Because if you graduate from Candler School of Theology, they want to make sure that you know you're not God. Because if you think you're God, they will flunk you and you will have to spend an extra year there. They want you to know that you're just like everybody else, and they don't want you to forget it, because that's how you minister to people. You're no better than anybody else. That can be very humbling. Very humbling. Especially if you think higher than yourself. You know, the Apostle Paul warns us not to think that we are higher than anybody else, because God will humble us and show us that we're not better than anybody else. Brothers and sisters, you and I are more alike than we are different. And what makes us alike is our humanity. You and I are the same when it comes to being sinners. You and I are the same when it comes to being needing of the Lord. You and I are the same when it comes to be needing one another. There's a lot of things that you and I are alike that you and I can find commonality around, but unfortunately, we don't always find a kinship in those ways. We oftentimes want to find things that makes us a little bit better than somebody else for some reason. When I was in the band, we tried out for chairs. If you're in the band, you know about trying out for chairs. There were four first trumpet chairs. First chair, second chair, third chair, fourth chair, first trumpet. Then there was second chair, second trumpet, second chair, second trumpet, third chair, second trumpet. There were four chairs to every instrument. Well, you know what everybody who thought they could play a trumpet wanted, right? You wanted to be what? First chair. First trumpet. Hey, I wanted to be that. But you know, if you're going to be first chair, first trumpet, you better be able to sight read pretty good. Because if you can't sight read pretty good, but somebody can sight read better than you, they may end up being first chair, first trumpet. And what's worse, if it's your best friend who beats you. Whenever I was in the band, one of my best friends became first chair, first trumpet. And I became second chair, second trumpet. But I could play higher notes than he could, so whenever there was a discant part, he would always let me play it, which would make me think that I'm sitting in the first chair. But here's the thing about it. We remain friends. Competition can be a good thing, brothers and sisters. Competition can be a good thing until it's at the expense of the other. And then it goes a little too far. Because in the kingdom of God, we're all going to be in the same chair. I end by telling this story. I remember the first time I used to eat at B's. You remember the first time you ate at B's on Dodds Avenue? I'd never eaten at B's before. My family went there and they set you amongst some strangers. You thought, well, they've set us at the wrong table. We don't know who these people are. And whenever we would sit there, you know, you'd start looking at one another and they'd look at you and you'd look at them and you'd try and be gracious with the lazy Susan. You know, sometimes when a stranger grabs it and you grab it, you know, you're not sure which way to go, you know. Oh, go ahead. It's all right. Yeah, go ahead. No, you go ahead. No, you go ahead. Well, what's interesting is after a while of being at B's, you come in as strangers and you leave as friends. I think heaven's going to be that way. Because I got a feeling that when we go to heaven, we're going to be sitting next to some people that we don't know. But I pray that after sitting with them for eternity, we'll discover that they're our brothers and our sisters. May we pray. Oh Lord, you have invited us to your table. And it is our desire to come with an attitude of humility. We do not come because we are worthy. We come because we are invited. We have not made the way ourselves, but you have made it for us. So as we approach your table, may we come with humility, for we come on level ground, all of us in need of the same exact thing. For it's in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Page 13 in your Methodist hymnal. We continue with our communion ritual. I will read that in light print and ask you to respond by reading that in bold. Let us begin together. The Lord be with you.
And also with
you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right, and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for the many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Join me as we pray the Lord's Prayer together, which begins, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.